Jeremiah is prophesied at a time when things are not going very well. He's locked up on orders from the chief priests, and Israel is in a shambles. Jeremiah dubs this situation terror on every side. Long before 9/11, Paris, London, seems there was Jerusalem. The prophet is speaking to disinterested people. Their temple will be plundered, and they will all be banished into Babylonian exile for generations. Israel, in the period leading up to Jeremiah, had drifted into unfaithfulness once again. Arrest, imprisonment, and public disgrace are this prophet's lot. And Jeremiah sees in Israel's unfaithfulness the sealing of its pending doom. It all appears a desperate situation, to be sure. Aware of the personal danger his ministry has instigated, Jeremiah is nevertheless full of hope and trusting of God. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you felt destined for failure? A situation with bad and even worse options. Nowhere to turn. The body tenses, the mind scrambles, and the spirit anguishes. Jeremiah's confidence, however, even in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds, should inspire all who, in whatever capacity, serve as ministers of God. A child reached their 16th birthday, and as many parents know all too well, trouble wasn't very far behind. It seemed home management, which until then had provided security, peace, and harmony, had become this child's captor. The child's parents were at a loss as to what to do. They could see their precious child becoming further and further estranged from the family. At times, anguish seemed to crush their very soul. Many good folks offered to help return the regularly disappearing child. But the family lived in a huge city, and the odds of finding such runaway souls are daunting. One night, however, after several days not knowing the whereabouts of his child, Dad set off in search. Fear filled his heart. Fear of being labeled an unfit parent. Fear of being physically, emotionally, and spiritually assaulted. And fear of losing control of his normally calm Celtic emotions. Fear, it seems, is born in pride and gives concern that our weaknesses might be exposed. Faith and peace is captured in these situations and held for ransom as we turn instead to solutions and dependency on a carbon-based and very temporal being, namely ourselves. Free will, all right, is the origin of this problem with sin or missing the mark. And suffering is its addendum. Damaged relationship, disorder, and injustice are clear indicators of sin's reach. Friends, women and men, senior or youth, black or white, will always falter detached from God. And left to our own natural and temporal resources, sometimes miserably. Options are only certain when we are affixed to the gospel, sacramental praxis, and the church's teachings. Gifts of sacramental grace offered freely are humankind's lifeline. But like any gift, these must be claimed, opened, and exercised if they are to have any effect on our lives. Sin, quite obviously, is an aspect of being human, but it is one not nearly as powerful as healing, mercy, and love. Friends, it is really death which enters the human condition shortly after creation that is humankind's greatest fear. Humankind has many answers and is all too familiar with sin. But no one answers the question of death except Jesus, our Christ, on a cross, conquering it, leaving empty a tomb, and breathing the hope of eternal and full life upon all believers. Christians have hope because in baptism we open our hearts to welcome the Holy Spirit into full-time residency. But fear is a formidable enemy. And Jesus gives words to his followers, knowing well the threats they will encounter. This time, though, our Lord doesn't tell believers to communicate in code or use any type of encryption. Speak with boldness and certainty, Jesus says. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body. Not going to be easy. We all want to breathe and live to our last moments. How can we not be afraid when we can see, feel, hear, and taste danger before us? It's unnatural. Consciousness triggers all kinds of responses when faced with danger of any type. Well, we could ask the saints and the martyrs how they managed against the trials and persecution many of them endured. But I think most will tell us that it is faith in God's promise and the acts of Jesus our Christ that are our strength and hope. Christian suffering is put in perspective by Jesus, who assures us of its temporal effect. We might all have to pray for increased resilience to help endure the many offenses we faced. We should remember in parts of the world, it remains literally the Christian's life at stake. Sparrows and hare are indeed of minuscule value. Yet, even these are of immense concern to our God. And unlike tiny birds and hare, we are treasures before our God, who will not let one sparrow fall to the ground, and who accounts for every hair on our heads. And now you know why Father Jonathan and Deacon Tom don't worry about hair. Granted, we come at the hair thing from different angles, but nonetheless, we share one common baptism and one same faith. And so, brothers and sisters, Let us take mindfully and with courage our Christian faith in all its beauty to every part of our world. Amen.